You're listening to the Snob OS podcast, the podcast for Apple snobs. Hey, this is Nika Monford, aka Tech Savvy Diva.
Yo, this is Terrence Gaines, aka Brother Tech.
And welcome to the Snobbish Show, the show for Apple snobs where we talk all things Apple and then some. We want to thank all of our supporters for your continued support, whether you are a listener to our regularly broadcast show, or if you are one of our snobbists, which means you are a Patreon supporter, a financial supporter of the show. If you are not a Patreon supporter and you do want to support the show in that fashion, you can head on over to patreon.com/snobwestcast, and there you're able to watch the show live, and you also get access to some exclusive content. With that being said, we are going to jump into the show this week. We are going to kick it off with the lowdown, where we talk all things Apple. So last week, we gave our first impressions on the new iPhone 14 Pro and the new Apple Watch. This week, we now are back with our impressions on the AirPods Pro, the second generation. Terrence and I both have them. We're both wearing them today. And we received them on last Friday, so we've had them for not quite a week, but almost. First impressions of the new second generation AirPods Pro.
Sound quality will probably be the thing that people notice the most. Well, I notice the most. The noise cancellation does a much better job. I think Apple said 2 times better active noise cancellation than the first gen. In my opinion, puts it on par with my AirPods Max, so much so, like I said before, that I am going to sell my AirPods Max because I don't need them anymore. Because one, I didn't use them all that much before. I was always reaching for my AirPods Pro, the original. But now that these have even better active noise cancellation, it's like, all right, well, what's the point of having the over ears when these that are in ear, they're smaller, they're more compact, I can take them more places. Why even need those larger ones? I ain't on the plane all day long, you know, so I don't have to really seclude myself. And then even if I am, these do the job. So it's like, what's the point, right? The audio quality, like I mentioned, much better. I listen to a lot of hip hop, so the bass and the deep, the lows sound much crisper, much clearer. The case, normally I take my AirPods and I tuck them in my pocket. I really didn't trust putting them in one of those little cases that gave mm-hmm. you a lanyard to where I could hook them onto a backpack or hook them onto a bag. I didn't trust that these things wouldn't open up and the AirPods fall out, right?
Right.
This magnet top seems a little bit more secure to where if I wanted to use the little lanyard and buy a lanyard and hook these on and maybe connect them to my pants or connect them to a bag, I would feel more comfortable doing that with these because the magnetic top is a little bit more secure. It wasn't a thing until I knew it was a thing that when you plug them up, you get the audible sound that they're actually mm-hmm. charging. So that was like, I didn't know I needed that until, you know, it actually happened. I'm like, oh, that's cool. And then the volume, being able to do the volume up and down, that was mm-hmm. the one thing that I wish list for the next AirPods when I had the original ones was to be able to do the volume up and down. So now I can do that. Now, before, what I was doing was making sure that whatever I was playing was on my watch so I could use the digital crown.
Yep.
But the way I have my Apple Watch set up is it goes back to the clock after 2 minutes. Excuse me. So when I was listening to something in the AirPods, I would have to, on my phone, on my watch, fuddle around until I got to the now playing so that I could turn the volume up and down. So the ability to be able to just quickly take my finger and run it down my face, for lack of a better term, to be able to turn the volume down a couple octaves, definitely comes through in the clutch.
Yeah, I know for me, I know I mentioned it before, small ears, and you know, before you'd see me like push the ears in, push the ears in to make sure they don't fall out. So with this particular release, they have the extra small ear tips, which I'm using, and I've noticed I don't, you know, have to do, you know, that little push in the ear as much. But what I have noticed is it doesn't seem as if the seal maybe is as good for the noise cancellation. I'm going to do a little test. I'm going to pop on the small ones, medium ones, to see if it, you know, if that's actually the case or if I'm just remembering wrong. But I do have to concur on the sound quality, much better, much crisper. And the sound that emits from the case, like you said, I didn't know I needed that. I was looking forward to it. But now that I actually have it, it's just like, yes, this is, yeah, this is very helpful. This is very helpful to me, especially because the cases are so small and, you know, it's, they've become second nature to make sure you have them. But it's one of those things where now you have like a little audible ding that kind of, yep, I do have my AirPod Pro with me. I don't have to like rifle through my purse to make sure they're in there, do a little ding, and yep, they're in there. So yeah, so overall, I'm pretty pleased with them. Like I said, I'll do a little test to see if I'm misremembering the noise cancellation, you know, seal with the extra smalls as compared to the smalls. But other than that, no complaints for me.
Yeah, for the price and for the quality, especially if you're an iPhone user, these are probably the best in-ear headphone, wireless headphones that you can get. You know, this is, you know, including the Bose, including the Sonys, including Jabra, including any Beats headphones. Now, one thing I am kind of skittish on is using these when I work out. I am a heavy sweater. Now, while these, according to Apple, says, you know, what you can wear them while you're working out and they are sweat resistant, I definitely need some that are sweat-proof.
Sweat-proof?
reason being is when I had the first generation AirPods Pro, I actually had to take them back to Apple and actually have them replaced under that replacement issue that Apple acknowledged, because I suspect... I didn't tell Apple this, but I suspect that I was using them while I was working out, super sweaty, and then some moisture got in there and kind of messed up the AirPods. Again, I took them to Apple and was like, hey, you know, there are reports that, you know, if you have this certain serial number, yada, 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 Apple acknowledges that there's some sort of issue. I want you to take a look at these, make sure mine fall under the issue. The Apple guy took them back there, played with them for a little bit, and gave me a new pair. Ever since then, I did not use them when I was doing a heavy workout. I may use them while I'm walking on a treadmill, but whenever I'm doing serious workout, I don't put them in. So I don't know if these, the second gen, are any better with sweat resistance, but I don't think I'm gonna try it.
That was going to be my question. So are you going to try it to see if it was actually the AirPods or the actual sweat? So
I am not. You know, I may just have to find, which is messed up because I did pay. How much are these?
$250.
Yeah, $250. That I'm considering finding another pair of AirPods or earbuds just for workout. Maybe I'll look at some Beats or something like that, that I can kind of knock around, but I don't want to spend more money. Right. I kind of want to use these.
Right. Because otherwise they're really great.
Right. Exactly. So we'll see.
Cool. Next up, the crux of the Apple announcement where we got all the information about the new phone, about the new watches, about the new AirPods. One of the highlights was the satellite-based SOS emergency feature that Apple introduced. Well, SpaceX, T-Mobile, they have Starlink, which is their satellite-based connectivity. And so when I saw this article, I was like, eh, do I care about this? But I was like, you know what? I'll take a look and see. But I find it interesting. So this particular article from 9 to 5 Mac, they're doing what they're calling a comparison of Apple's satellite connectivity to T-Mobile's and SpaceX, their venture for satellite connectivity. It honestly, what it boils down to is not necessarily a one-to-one comparison, because when Apple made their original announcement, it was, this is strictly for emergency type of situations. Whereas
it's just messaging.
Right. As whereas for the SpaceX T-Mobile venture, it's, you know, it's, you can use it anywhere. You can, you know, it's a part of, you know, your normal 5G, you know, processing. So it's not necessarily one-to-one comparison, even though I think Apple may be eventually going for that. When it, for this initial release, that's not necessarily what the case is. But it reading the article, what it does kind of give me a bit of a pause is how it says that, you know, Apple's implementation is expected November of this year, while the, I guess, full version for T-Mobile and SpaceX is late 2023. So it's one of those things where you can't necessarily really compare the two features. I can kind of see where there are some similarities, but for the most part, I think it's unfair to try and compare these two different things, because one, they are scaled to work in different scenarios, but it's just always, I guess, the thing where they're trying to compare Apple to anybody, and in this case, Elon Musk.
Right, right. I don't see the comparison either. But if this works for Apple and it works well for Apple, maybe they expand it to, maybe Apple launches their own satellites in space, right? Maybe Apple expands it to, they start their own wireless carrier or wireless service provider. If in fact they can either launch their own satellites, or they can partner like T-Mobile did with Starlink. You know, you got Tesla, you know, if Starlink is that good, maybe Apple, you know, also partners with Tesla and uses Starlink satellites to provide 5G cellular service if this works. Now, again, T-Mobile and Starlink, they're launching theirs in 2023, and I'm pretty sure it ain't gonna be all that hot, because, again, with satellite connectivity, if I'm understanding the way Apple's using it, is the way satellite phones work, right? You either have to have a big antenna, like if you see a traditional satellite phone, they unfurl that big antenna. Right, right. Anybody using that on an iPhone? Or what Apple is doing is you actually have to point your phone directly at a satellite. If that's the case, you know, I don't know if T-Mobile and Starlink are going to have, you know, a whole bunch of success out the gate. But maybe it just leads to other people like Apple getting into the game for real, launching their own satellites and providing their own wireless service provider that uses satellites once this becomes, you know, more feasible.
Right. And currently Apple is partnering with a company called Globalstar, and they currently operate a constellation of 24 satellites in low Earth orbit, particularly for satellite phones and low data speed connections. And it's one of those things where they're for the limited scope that Apple is using this for, and it's only for, I think, the continental US, that Apple is providing this for. Yep, it's only available within U.S., including Puerto Rico, the Virgin Islands, and Canada. I think the SpaceX joint venture with T-Mobile, I think they have a little bit of a different parameters as well. What they are limited to continental U.S., Hawaii, parts of Alaska, Puerto Rico, and territorial waters. So it's one of those things where they already have a partnership. Maybe they're just going to see how this goes, see how this kind of fleshes out before making the decision to kind of pull the trigger, so to speak, on a larger implementation. But I will say it's very interesting that, you know, we all know how Elon Musk is, and, you know, he is with his big announcements or his, you know, sly ways of saying things. But this article does quote him as saying that he teased some, quote, promising conversations with Apple on Twitter. So we know how Apple, how Twitter conversations go. But it's just, I guess, his way of trying to say, hey, you know, Apple is, you know, talking to us. But time will tell to see if anything actually comes out of that. And I don't think Elon tried to work with them before. They was like, nah, we good. I don't think they would want to use.
Elon's going to have to straighten up. Elon had to straighten up before he get any sort of workings with when it comes to Apple. Yeah. They just two different type of companies.
he has a long way to go to be able to get on their, you know, good list of, you know, companies to work with. But I just thought that was a very interesting conversation going on around both of these implementations of satellite service.
Yeah. I was going to say side note, but not really connected, but sort of. I don't know if do you have this on here? No. Kanye was having all his problems with Adidas and Gap, right? Mm-hmm. And his solution was, well, I'm going to start to seek out Black-owned businesses to partner with to do his clothing lines or whatever the case may be, because according to, you know, the news that I saw, Adidas and Gap have pretty much partnered up and said, you know, you can't even use your name, the Yeezy likeness, yada, yada, yada. So Kanye's way around that is, all right, well, I'm just going to partner with Black-owned businesses. And to kind of parallel that with, you know, Tesla, Elon and Apple getting together, you know, if I was a Black-owned business and Kanye was like, I'm looking to work with some Black-owned partners, I'm like, I don't know if I want them problems.
I would pay him dust. First of all, why you didn't think of that before? And Second of all, we see how you treat these large multi-billion corporations. How are you going to treat a small independent Black-owned company? Nah, bro.
Right. When they don't do what you need them to do. Now, again, I don't know how Kanye is with producers, who he works with. I'm not sure how he is with, you know, features when you have people write. You know, we don't know what their experience is. Maybe the experience that a Black-owned business would get when he's working with Kanye versus the way Kanye operates with these big mega corporations. But when people show you who they are, believe them. So to parallel that with, you know, Apple, you know, or Elon, you know, stroking the fire as far as working with Apple, maybe Apple is like, we see how you do things.
Yeah.
And we don't want no parts of that.
It's not going to be any different with us. So no thanks. We good over here.
All right.
All right. Something I think that you have talked about interest in, and something that you hope would come with the new version of iPhones, reverse charging. So again, this is getting a patent for something doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to come to fruition, but Apple has a new patent application for iPhone reverse charging that was just published today. Yep, the 29th. And so it gives maybe a little bit more hope to people who are looking for and hoping for reverse charging, also known as bilateral charging, meaning you can put two iPhones together. If one's dead and one is charged, and kind of give it a little bit of jolt, a little bit of juice. Also, the hope is that this will also work with AirPods and Apple Watch as well.
Yeah, especially because the AirPods Generation 2 case now works with MagSafe charging. So right. I can put this on a MagSafe, Apple MagSafe cable. I personally have like a Belkin nightstand, that's AirPower-esque, that has a spot on the side for my phone. It has a spot on the middle for the AirPods, and it has like the little donk, the little desk thing for the Apple Watch. Now, in the middle where my AirPods go, I have to put the AirPods on the little thing and kind of move it around until I get the little light, or in this case, to get the sound to let me know I've connected. But if I take my AirPods case and put it on the other side where my MagSafe phone goes, boom, it snaps right in. I don't have to move it around or fumble around. It finds it and it charges up. So now that the AirPods is MagSafe compatible and the back of these phones is MagSafe compatible. I mean, if I put
the natural progression,
right. I wanted to slide off for people listening. You have to imagine me putting my AirPods 2 case on the back of my iPhone with a MagSafe case on here, and there is some connectivity. It does kind of stick. Now, it's not permanent, but the fact that they do connect like that, the next step would be the ability to use my phone to charge up my AirPods case and to charge up my watch. I don't need to charge up another phone. I don't need to do all that other stuff. Personally, I just want to be able to flip my phone over and charge up my AirPods case and charge up my Apple Watch. If you can do those two things, I'm happy.
That's two less cables you have to carry around when you need to charge something.
Right.
But yeah, so this is, you know, I think definitely a sign or step in the direction that a lot of people are hoping for. And I know Android has been doing this forever. You know, that's fantastic. That's great for you. We're Apple over here and we don't have it. And we are looking forward to it. And it looks like it might be coming.
Android, the people who make those comments that Android has been doing this for years, y'all don't talk about those features until Apple does it. So obviously it's a little left to be desired, the feature in and of itself, the way it works on an Android, because if it was that hot, that's all y'all would talk about. Right. Y'all never talk about it until Apple decides to do it. Now you want to talk about it. You weren't thinking about no reverse charging until Apple.
I won't even use it.
Submitted a patent for it. Now you're like, oh, I could have done that. You didn't, and you haven't been talking about it. So hush.
Yeah. Does it even really work? Is it reliable? How often do you use it? But yeah. Just hush. So this is definitely great news. I definitely hope this is in the immediate pipeline to come on down. That would be pretty dope. And who's not to say that the technology isn't already built into the phone? It just needs a little bit of a software update to actually activate it. But time will tell, and we will see how it is implemented. Yep. Next up, Tim Cook is on a bit of a European tour. He is over in Europe meeting with all kinds of people. He was over in Italy. He received a honorary master's in innovation and international something or other. He's been having all these conversations. He met with the Ted Lasso folks over there in the UK. And so he's been quite chatty, which he isn't, you know, particularly known for. But over the course of his time in Europe, he's addressed a few things. Lack of women in tech, EarPod sales, EAR pod sales, and the AR future. So again, on the women in tech, he met with a class of all female founders, the company's first for this particular activation in the UK. And he talked about how, you know, it's no good excuse for, you know, there not to be enough women in tech. You know, women bring a diverse perspective, all those good things, yada, yada, yada. That's great. Let's make sure that, you know, it's not just lip service and, you know, you are actually doing those things to make sure that women are not only getting hired, not only getting funded, but are also being treated well in that workspace. So he talked a little bit about that. He also talked about ear pods. And I think in one of the conversations that he was having with the BBC, he asked to borrow some wired headphones, the old school kind of plug in, you know, with the cord. And it seems like, you know, he was like, you know, everybody talks about the AirPods. We just got finished talking about them. And he was like, oh yeah, by the way, we still sell them. You know, it's not like we don't use them. And it seems like based on this little interaction that he, I don't know, necessarily may not prefer the wired headphones, but it seems that he uses them quite a bit as well. So that's a little bit interesting. But the piece de resistance of the whole conversation is that he was a little bit chatty around AR. And he says, quote, in the future, people will wonder how we lived without AR, and said that we are investing a ton in that space. So, you know, Apple typically doesn't talk a lot about what they have coming. They just like to kind of say, here it is, you know, fully formed and ready to roll. But I find it interesting that he's been quite chatty over the last couple of months about AR and Apple. Thoughts?
Unlike other things that Apple kind of does, and what I mean by that is, like we talked about a little bit earlier, you know, Android will come out with a feature, people will use it, it'll work, you know, but then Apple comes out and puts the Apple spin on a similar feature, and it becomes revolutionary, and people love it, we talk about it, we write about it, yada, 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 it becomes a thing, right? I think that the opposite is going to have to happen for AR. I think Apple is going to have to take the forefront. They are going to have to be the leaders and be cavalier when it comes to augmented reality for other companies to then follow up and then kind of say, oh, okay, so yeah, here's all the different applications. Apple kind of started it, but we add our own little spin, because right now we know augmented reality is important. We know virtual reality is important, but nobody can really put their finger on that one use case that makes everybody say, oh, okay, that makes perfect sense. We're going to roll this out, and all different type of industries and companies and use cases and businesses are going to, you know, implement this. You know, everybody's waiting on Apple. So I think Tim Cook, yeah, while he's being chatty about it, you know, he's just going to have to be the first in the trenches to do it, maybe to their detriment, because maybe since they're the first ones doing it, it may not, you know, kick off the way Apple does things. When Apple announces something, we expect this groundswell, and that may not happen. You know, they may launch a pair of augmented reality glasses and it just be okay.
Falls flat.
Right. And in Apple's case, doing okay means falling flat, in the sense that everybody's going to expect when Apple does it, it just take off. Right. And that may not be the case. So
as Apple opposed to if anybody else doing that exact same
nobody's
thing,
gonna care.
It would be, oh my God, it's the most revolutionary thing. Right, but right. The bar is so high for Apple that it, you know, if it's less than a resounding success, then it's a failure.
And they may just have to take an L on that. You know, they didn't want to do it with the Air Power Mat.
Maybe it's like, that's not the hill we want to die on.
Right. Maybe augmented reality is the thing they have to, you know, champion until it becomes mainstream, versus waiting until it's mainstream and then doing the Apple thing on top of it.
Right. So that is going to wrap up the lowdown, where we talk all things Apple. We're going to head on over to Second String, where we talk all other tech. It's pretty light on Second String this week, but I did see this particular thing that I thought was quite interesting. Square, they are working to bring, we talked about the tap to pay feature that iPhone has. They are working on bringing this type of feature to Android. So it's basically, we talked about it before, is a contactless NFC payment transaction with any vendor, meaning if you're, you know, out at a street fair, you see some, you know, earrings or, you know, t-shirt or whatever, the merchant has, you know, this tap to pay on their phone, you tap your phone, you tap their phone, voila, payment confirmed, you can go on about your business. You know, this is, they're trying to launch this thing for I guess Android. Google was, yeah, Andrew, yeah. What's their things? What, Google Wallet? Is it Samsung Wallet?
Samsung Pay. There's Google Wallet, and there's also Google Pay, which is, you know, Google is notorious for not being clear on what services do what, right?
Right.
But I think, basically, long story short, in the future, we're going to be able to use our phones as point of sale devices. Square already has like this little Bluetooth enabled chip thing that you can either hover your phone over to do a wireless NFC payment, or if you've got a chip in your credit card, you put the chip in the little slot and it does it. Or if you've had those credit cards that do that, you can also take a credit card and kind of hover it over the spot.
It has a wireless built-in, yeah.
Right. And instead of doing that with a separate mechanism, you'll be able to do your phone. You better do it with your phone, which is easier. You always got your phone on you. You can have multiple point-of-sale devices. Like if you are working a shop and you have two or three people taking orders, everybody doesn't have to share this one little dongle. You can enable the app on their phone, or if you're handing out phones, and then boom, multiple people can make purchases, yada, yada, yada. What was I going to say? I can't remember what I was going to say. It just make it easier. Because again, everybody has a phone. So the faster that they can do this, will be the better. The question is, you know, what companies are going to lose out? Because there are vendors, there are jobs, there are whole industries dedicated to point of sale machines, point of sale services. You know, if a phone replaces all that stuff, then, you know, what kind of, you know, back, you know, negative will that cause? But I mean, hopefully these point of sale companies know that this is coming. So you better jump on board.
Yeah, absolutely. Or, you know, why didn't you guys think of that as a innovation for, you know, to make sure that your workforce is still going strong and that your company will still be able to work. So who knows, maybe, you know, I think NCR is one of the biggest companies here in Atlanta.
Yeah, huge. You
know, yeah. Uh-huh. I don't know. I hope they have a backup plan or an alternative to something.
Well, I hope they hurry up, because just yesterday we were in a cookie shop, and it's like, why don't y'all do the Apple Pay or the tap? They were still, you still got to swipe your card.
Have the chip thing?
No, don't even have the chip. You got to swipe your card and you got to sign the receipt. It's like, who does anymore? Right. So we're asking, why don't y'all have the tap to pay thing? And of course it's money, right? We got to convert all of our whatever, or
use business altogether.
Or use the phone thing and then let the merchants, you know, you buy a, since this tap to pay thing is coming to Android, you know, you could buy a $200-$300 Android phone. You ain't got to buy no $700-$800 iPhone. You know, order three or four of these Androids for all your merchants or all your, you know, cashiers. I don't want to call them cash. There's got to be a better word for cashier. I don't know what that word is, but cashier, right? Give them this $300 or $400 phone. That is the point of sale machine. These kids that's working part time know how to go on their phone and ring up, you know, some ice cream on their phone faster than them going to some register, right? Yeah. And then let them do it that way. It's like, what are y'all waiting on?
What are you waiting on? So that is all I had in the way of second string, unless you had anything that, you know, you ran across that you want to talk about.
Nope.
Okay. All right. Let's head on over to For the Culture, where we talk about relevant things in society, whether it be technology based or not. It's just stuff that we want to talk about that's going on around us. So I have something in the notes. I've been, like I said, a bit out of pocket this week because work has really had me tied up. I don't know, was there anything other than what I have listed in the notes that, you know, kind of popped off this week?
I'll think of something. I kind of already talked about the Kanye thing earlier, so I guess we're not rehash that. I should have saved that for the culture. But yeah, you have to go back and listen to my Kanye rant in the lowdown.
So what I do have is something quick. Super Bowl, I don't know what number it is. They have announced their performer for the 2023 Super Bowl, and it is none other than Rihanna. I think I've mentioned before, I am a huge Rihanna fan. I've seen her shows multiple times. So I, for one, am super excited about her performance because, as we know, she is now a billionaire entrepreneur. So she won't be doing music because she ain't got to.
I am not a Rihanna fan, you know. I've heard her songs, but it has been a while since she has put anything out. Like you mentioned, she's got entrepreneurial things going on. She's got family things going on.
She's had a baby.
So, yeah. Right. So she has ascended just performer status, right?
Right.
Is that because of natural progression? Or is that because she ain't got it like she used to? Which will be interesting to see if she is, well, not ifs, when she does perform at the Super Bowl, you know.
I think she's going to have to do a boot camp. I know when Beyonce came back for Coachella, she did like a boot camp. She was like, I've been, you know, having babies, you know, breastfeeding, doing other stuff, and I haven't really been performing. And Rihanna hasn't performed in a while because she didn't want to. I know that she has been working on an album, allegedly, but we haven't seen the fruits of that.
I was more going to not necessarily the dexterity as far as, you know, endurance to put on a performance. Does she got the pipes to sing anymore?
So I've seen her perform four times. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, earlier in the career, you know, like most people, you know, you're a pretty girl, you dance, you kind of do the things. But I have noticed her last album, which I really enjoyed, the performance and the music was there in the time that she's performed. It's been there. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes. Either way, I'm excited for it. I put this, you know, in for the culture because, of course, social media had a field day with this. You know, everybody was super excited to hear about it. But some of the memes where someone did a video, it was like, and now for your halftime performance, Rihanna. And on the video, it shows her doing like a makeup tutorial. Mm-hmm, I saw some of the memes with her, you know, at a makeup counter, you know, she's just going to come and announce like things. So, you know, those type of things are, you're always
everything fun. Except actually singing and performing.
Right. Doing right. Everything except that. And the fact that, you know, we all know that Jay-Z is heavily involved in the NFL now. Rihanna, he signed Rihanna initially. And they actually wanted her to do the Super Bowl in 2018, and she declined because of the treatment of Colin Kaepernick. And so it's very interesting. I'm very interested to see if it was Jay-Z's influence that finally talked her into it, or if the fact that Colin has, you know, moved, they did their settlement or whatever and has moved on, or is it just because, you know, she has new music coming out? And of course, for any of these entertainers, it's all about what do I have coming out next. This is kind of like my launching pad into what I have coming out next. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, what she actually announces at the performance, because it's honestly, it's not really about the performance. They don't get paid for those. So it's the publicity and the visibility that they get for the next thing that they have coming. So like I said, I'm a huge fan. I'm excited to see the performance, and She has, you know, some pretty iconic songs. She's worked with a lot of great artists as well. So it'll be fun to see if she has any, she brings anybody out, which I'm sure she probably will. So I think it'll be fun as well. And the rumor is her new album is going to be, you know, island inspired, because she is an island girl. So, you know, something light and fun for the culture this week.
Yep, absolutely.
So that's going to wrap it up for the culture. Let's head on over to the hookup. Do you have anything for us this week, or are we going to?
Oh, you know what?
Give it a break.
No, I've got something. Okay. It's not at the top of my mind. But I did. Do something. The startup chime. Did I talk about that already?
Mm.
No. Okay. All right.
We talked about a sound, but for the AirPods, but not for the
AirPods. Well, what we talked about for the AirPods is two things, right? When you plug your AirPods up, or you put them on a Q or Qi or MagSafe, they'll emit a little sound to confirm that they are in fact charging, and they have a little speaker on the bottom where when you lose them or you need to find them real fast, you can emit a sound. The case emits a sound, when before on the original version, only the earbuds themselves made a sound. So the only way you could in theory find them if they were outside of the case. If they were inside of the case, you couldn't really find them. Now they've added a speaker on the bottom of the AirPods, so the case itself emits a sound. What I'm talking about this week in the hookup is you can enable a startup chime. So when you power up your iPhone, it emits a sound similar to that traditional sound that we've all come accustomed to, that some of us even enjoy. When you power up your Mac, you know, whether it be a MacBook, iMac, Mac Pro, whatever the case may be, it has that boom sound. You can actually enable that sound, not that sound, but you can enable a startup chime on an iPhone. So when you shut down your iPhone and when you boot it back up, you can actually, it'll actually emit a sound. And the way you do that is you have to go to settings, accessibility, audio visual, and then you can toggle on the power on and off sounds. So when you turn your phone off, maybe I'll try it. Let's see if I can see if you can hear this when you do it. This is for people with hearing or not hearing, visual impairments to let them know that when they've actually turned off their phone and when they turn it back on. So, but you can actually do it. It's for the iPhone 14. So it's not for any other previous version. So let me see if I can do this here. If I turn this off. I don't know if you heard that.
Yep, heard it.
Okay. So when I turn it back on, let's see here. Come on, buddy. Yeah.
There
so is. That is the sound that my phone emits whenever I turn it off or turn it on. So that is my hookup for the week. If you want a little audible representation confirmation that your phone is in fact turned on and off, you can actually enable a startup chime for your iPhone.
Nice. That is going to wrap up the show for this week. You can definitely check us out. Brother Tech, are you anywhere in the news this week, and where can people follow you?
Not in the news this week, but you can find me everywhere at Brother Tech, SBROTHATECH.
And for me, you can follow me at Tech Savvy Diva on all of the social platforms. To connect, comment, and share and support our show, you can head on over to snobblewestcast.com to get all the details with all of the information. That is going to wrap up our show this week. We want to thank you for tuning in, and we will check you out next week.
Peace.
Have a good one, everybody.